some of us have had three other sessions together this week. And those that are new in Holden Village might want to take a look in the bookstore at this book. Even if you can't buy it, take a peek at it. And we've been using some of the skills from this book this week because there's some really good ways of getting over some hurdles in drawing and coming at things from another point of view and looking for different kinds of things. And so Betty Edwards, who is a really neat gal that's written a couple books, teaches a lot of drawing, and she's talking about how we can use those resources that are in the right side of our brain. And if you don't know about that, inside our heads, can you imagine, in this skull, there is a left sphere, an hemisphere, and it looks like a ball divided in half, and there's a left half and a right half, and they do different things for us. And our left brain controls, for instance, our right hand, they kind of cross over. But on the right side, we do things that are intuitive, we judge relationships of things, we judge spatial distances, we do some dreaming, we look for parts to the whole, and so on. But in our left brain, we're busy with symbols and all the kinds of word things and logic and so on. And the problem is, even these kids that are in school now, and you are learning lots of things that will train your left brain, but not very many things that train your right brain. And the thing is, in drawing, if you want to try to draw realistically, and if you want to be an artist, you have to draw a lot on the right brain. So our job this week has been to kind of turn off our left brain, and it's really hard, especially for those of us who've been living a long time and we're so used to depending on it. And so we have to, I've been telling people to keep talking to that left brain and get rid of it and tell it to go away for a while for this next hour. So tonight we are going to go off in another direction with some tips that I think will help you to see better. And we're going to look at three different kinds of things, at sighting, at comparing lengths and relative lengths and widths of things, and perceiving correct relationships and things. And do you notice that I'm not using any, we're not going to use any symbols as we go along. We're just going to try to put down what we can actually perceive. So what we'd like to start with is this business, take your pencil up in your hand, and I'm going to get one in mine too so I can see. And Ross is going to work with us tonight. Ross is my husband. And asked him if he would... No, I think it will be just fine. And we're going to do some things in sighting. And when you're doing sighting, what you do is you kind of hold your pencil out like this, or some people like it like this, but you want it to be at eye level. In other words, don't be looking down like this or up like that, but kind of at eye level. And just right now, take one of the doors or windows and just sight it. And your pencil should be upright because this is a geometric room, and it'll be upright. So you're sighting like that. And then find a horizontal in the room at the bottom of a window or door or edge of a ceiling beam or something and sight it like that and just hold it and you're sighting. Okay, what we want to do tonight is to think about some ways that we can sight things and what we can use to get those relationships going. And I have two or three examples here that we want to look at. If you're drawing somebody and they're kind of going like this and you don't know where to start them and how to get that going, you need to do some sighting. And I'm going to ask Ross to kind of lean over in his chair on the arm like that. And when I do that, he's no longer sitting upright, so I know I can't make him upright. So what I want you to do for a second is take your pencil and hold it up by his elbow here, if you can see that, and sight it and see what kind of an angle you're going to make right in here, for instance. Or if we're taking the vertical here, that would be the vertical of your paper, and you can begin to see what kind of angle is there. And we can also hold it up over his face straight out from our arm and sight it and realize that his head is really tilted quite a bit this way. So we can do some sighting, and you can rest a second. And you can see up here that if you do some sighting, that and you hold that up, you can begin to see, oh, there's a triangular shape here, or a kind of triangular shape here, that you're going to tilt that head over because you've sighted it and you realize that it's going another direction than you really see. You can practice this by taking a chair or a bed or a table or something, and if you use this method of sighting and looking at relationships, you don't have to rely on rules of perspective. And for some people, that's such a relief. Somebody like me, who's intuitive, that I don't like all those rules. And if you're a left-brain person, you might like them. But if you really look and you sight things well, you shouldn't need to use the rules of perspective so much. So when you look at this, if for instance, this room corner is like that, and I sight this, I can see what kind of an angle here I want to put in for the chair. And then I can sight horizontally. And of course, if something's sitting on the ground and it's a building, you can pretty much depend that that's going to be a constant horizontal. And horizontals are all going to be parallel with the bottom. So what you're looking for is relationships between the upright and the horizontal, and then what kind of angles will be formed with them. Then there's another kind of thing that we do, and it's the second point here, comparing the relative lengths and widths of things. And I've drawn a simple table here, and I want you to just take it a minute with your pencil, the table that's actually up here, and put your finger, I'm going to put mine here because I'm doing it real close. Put your finger on the spot where you're going from one end to the other of the table here like that, and just put your hand out a minute and measure that for yourself and hold on to it. And then compare it. So maybe you've done this end of the table. Now compare it to the length. And maybe you're starting the length, or maybe you want to check to see if it's right. And put this on here and like that. And if you move it from one side to the other, you'll realize you're sort of doubling the length of the table, that this long side is twice as long as that side. So you can do some sighting sometimes and do some measuring, comparing one length to another length, or a width to a width. For instance, if you didn't know how wide you wanted the table, well, you could compare it. Say you'd drawn this end. You compare something that you've already drawn with something you'd like to draw. And maybe you can look at the table and see, oh, are the legs as thick as the top? Oh, okay, I've just checked that out with my sighting here and comparison. And I'm going to compare this to that. And then you'll have some visual checks that don't depend on any rule of any kind, and that you can make those sightings and those comparisons happen. Now, sometimes we get in some real binds because there can be things that trick our eye in some way. And I've drawn this little diagram here, and maybe you can tell us which tree you think is the largest here. There are four trees in this funny
little. The back one.
The back one, which is on the right or the left?
Furthest right.
Over here?
Yeah.
Okay, anyone else?
The left one.
The skinny one.
The skinny one. Okay. Now, in this particular case, because we've got all these disappearing lines here that are going back into the distance, we have some things that really screw us up. And so if we just look at it without doing some sighting or some measuring with your pencil, you may really mess up. And what you really find is that this shape and this shape are exactly the same. And I think this one is a little taller. And so if you're talking about length, that might be a tad taller. But this one and this one are exactly the same. And yet they appear to us, there's kind of an illusion that they aren't. So this is just an example to show you that sometimes if something isn't looking right in your drawing, and especially as you start to draw the human figure, if it isn't looking right to you in proportion, maybe you better do some sighting and comparing and seeing just what the trouble is before you go on and just make some adjustments. But you aren't making it, I'm not talking about measuring with inches or anything of that sort that's linear and left brain, but what we're doing is just making some comparisons with things. Do you have a question?
No, I was just going to say, you know, another perspective would be, is the frame wider or taller? I mean, is it taller than it is wide, or wider than it is tall?
This particular one?
Well, yeah, it looks, doesn't it? I mean, I'd like to ask people that.
See? Oh, okay.
You know, what do you think?
What do you think?
It looks square.
Looks square. Okay, we'll just check it out here. It's about 10 by 10. Okay.
Because sometimes, you know, that things appear taller than they are wider. If you draw a T, upside down T, you can show that illusion.
Right. And one of the things, the reason I put this little diagram up here is that we do get tricked, and especially we get tricked if I ask Ross now to draw and he's going to reach out like this, especially those people along the back of the table. This arm is really foreshortened, and it looks probably really short in distance, but you know with your head, oh, my left brain is saying it's really about two heads high, right? And this arm. And so when I put it out this way, it's hard to judge it. And so what I'm saying is that you sight it with your pencil and compare it and see where it comes in relationship to something else that you're drawing. And then that way, you don't have to know a whole lot of rules. You just keep checking and sighting things and seeing what's going to happen. So the sighting thing and also comparing the lengths and the widths of different things are really important. And then the next thing is to perceive the right relationships, or sometimes people call them proportions, about things. And an interesting thing is, if I put on the board tonight that we were going to draw the figure, some of you might have thought, oh my God, that's going to be way too hard for me, I won't be able to do it. And other people would have come because it would be a challenge or they like to do figures. But the interesting thing is that probably recognizing another face is, for most of us, a right brain function, because we're looking at the differences of proportions in different faces, and that's why I know it's you instead of you, because the proportion of the size of your head and where different things are placed and so on are a little different with each individual, and the way those cheekbones go and jaw bones and so on. And so our right brain really gets a big workout when we're recognizing people. In fact, they have tested people who've had strokes on their right brain, and those people have trouble recognizing their relatives or their wife or their children or their neighbors or somebody when they come, because they've lost those capacities to make these kinds of judgments that we're talking about. So what we want to do is talk a little bit about this business of proportion or correct relationships. And people who are dentists and carpenters and people who are carpet layers and so on, people who have to judge distances and how much of a hole shall I take out for that piece over there in the carpet, those people are developing a lot of skills with their proportional, relational kinds of things. And they might be ahead of some of us if they sat down to draw, because they use those kinds of skills a lot. But most of us need to begin in the beginning and alter get rid of all the symbols and just go ahead and put down what we're seeing. So we're going to do a little bit of that tonight. We're going to do some sighting and comparisons with Ross here for a minute. And what I'd like you to do is to all, on that small sheet of paper, we're just going to make an oval that kind of represents a head. And this in a way is a kind of symbol, but we need something to hang on to here. So will you draw on that small piece of paper, just a kind of oval, someplace on that smaller paper with your pencil?
How big?
And as big as you want. We can use both sides if you use that side up. So just make yourself an oval on there. And the first thing we might like to discover is, where should we put the eye level? And we're just going to use Ross as a... What we'd like to do is do in partners. So would you two look at each other, and you two judge each other, and you two, and you two, and you two, and you two, and maybe you three can do it together here. And what I'd like you to do is do some sighting. Now your partner is going to be quite a bit closer to you. So will you do some sighting and take that partner and measure from their chin. Now Ross has a beard, so he's going to be a little different. But I'd like you to measure sight, and you can close one eye if you want to, but sight from the eye level, which I consider to be right here, the eye level down to the chin, and then hold your pencil right there. Kind of do it for each other. Okay, hold that, And then when you take that same length and measure from right about their nose next to their eye and see where it comes up on the head.
From where, their nose?
Nope, from their eyes again.
It's pretty close, so
oh. Okay. Okay, so what'd you find out?
Halfway.
Same.
Yeah. And everybody's getting the same information, right?
Yeah. What?
And here I told you we're all individuals, so it's half. So let's that's right. And you know why we are so startled by that? In fact, that's probably the biggest mistake that people make in starting a realistic cat.
This writer came to our school and he said, what does everybody think the eyes are supposed to be?
Give enough room to our foreheads and under the hair is that people are most interested in the information of your eye and your mouth. That's where the expression is. They know if you're really happy or if you're really grumpy and you've got scowls. And they look at that, and we don't pay attention to all that stuff that's up there. Now, we do get somebody that her hair is standing up, and so it's a little higher. Did it look higher than the hat? Because of that. But if we squashed her hair down, and when you have yours combed, it is not right. So that's a kind of interesting thing, just to think that in relation to the whole skull, that the top half from the eyes down and the bottom half are going to be sort of similar. So let's just find that halfway mark and put a line across here. Like that, because we've made that judgment already. We discovered that about somebody. Okay, now once we get that, then we can go on and do some other things. And we can look at the nose, and let's measure the person's nose, our partner's nose, and see where it comes in this space between here and here. Where does it come? How far does it come down?
Half.
Okay. There's a little variation here. Sometimes it's half or a little above the half. So sort of around in here, someplace in here. So let's just put a little mark in here. Okay, and you've just measured those things down. And then let's just look at that space between the end of the nose and the chin and see where you think the mouth is coming in that. So you mark the end of the nose, and where in here is that? We're looking at the line in the mouth right now. We aren't looking at the top of the lip. In fact, one thing that when we draw with our left brain, we often start mouths and we do this, and we do this. And this is a symbol. You've learned how to do that. So what I'm interested in your finding is that line. Do you know the line is the darkest part of our mouth and the most expressive, that line between. So if you're really interested in drawing people's faces, pay a lot of attention to what that line is. So where did that line come then, did you discover between here and here?
On your,
yeah. So let's put the line where the mouth is going to be in here. We aren't going to make it too big right now because we're going to do something else with it here in a second. And then we're going to do some horizontal sighting this time. Turn your pencil sideways now. Remember, it's got to be horizontal with the floor. And let's do a measurement that tells us how long your partner's eye is from this end of the socket over here to this end of the lid. So just mark, excuse me, from the tear duct to the end of the, so we're just seeing how long that eye is in the total length, and hold it right here. And don't let go of that length. And now measure the length between this tear duct and that tear duct.
It's the same.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean,
okay, so what we found out is the width of an eye is what the width is between the eyes. Pretty helpful information.
Yeah.
Because we don't think about that, you know, that this space right from here to here is really the width of her eye. It's true for every one of us. Okay? And here we thought we were so individual. Okay, so if the eye, I'm going to say that the eye is here. Let's just kind of divide this into five parts, and we'll put this here and here. So now we've got that arrangement. And in the middle of here, we know there's going to be a pupil if the person looks ahead, straight ahead. Okay? Now, I think you missed that part. This is the line where the eye level is, and it's halfway down the skull for anybody, and we measured it on our part. So this is the eye level, and this is in five parts, and the space, the same distance between the eyes that you have for the eyes, and just put those two dots in there to represent the pupil.
No, I'm in trouble.
Okay?
Not this person, they over eight.
Okay. Now, we're going to do another vertical sighting, so get your pencil up like this, and get that partner to look you straight in the eye, and we're going to drop that down. If the person looks straight ahead, wow, we drop it straight down.
Wow.
I want you to see where the edges of the mouth are, and hold it straight down. He hasn't got his head straight here.
Wow.
Okay.
Right under the pupil.
Okay, we're going to look from the pupil straight down and see that the corner of the mouth is right there.
That's right here.
So,
yeah, right
no, the line goes way off to there, and that's where I see the pupil.
Okay. Some people have littler mouths than others.
Slightly smaller,
he has a small mouth.
But in general,
yeah.
So if I drop a line down from here, if I dropped a line down, that this mouth might go out like that.
Yeah, very big mouth.
Okay, and it's bigger than a lot of us will think. Okay, so that's a way. This is just a diagram. So this one is just a practice thing. We aren't going to do it. We're just figuring out some things on this oval. So what we found out is that we can make the mouth way over to here. Now, I'd like you to take your pencil and put it out to the side of the person, and I hope you can see the top of their ear. Can you? And if you can, tell me where the top of the ear comes when you've sighted across there. What does it line up with? Yeah, the top of the nose or the eye level, right?
Top of the lid of the eye.
Okay. So let's just put a mark here in general. Because we know that's the top of the ear. And then let's take and sight again if you hold your head up straight. Sight across here from the lobe of the ear. And where does that come?
Bottom of the nose.
Right.
What a long ear.
And so that's exactly right. Everybody says, what a long ear. Okay, so do you see how useful comparing things is? And if you're...
The bottom of your ear comes just to the tip of your nose here. If I hold this
horizontal,
okay?
So, we've got a lot of information. Let's see if there's anything else we can figure out. We've got the axis, the eye level, okay? Oh, there's one more thing. This throws a lot of people off, and it's a little different for women than for men. But I'd like you to take a line and just drop it down from where this earlobe is. So it would be right here. And see how close to that the neck comes. If you hold it up horizontal, how close the neck is. And in men, like he has a really husky, muscular neck, and so his drops almost straight down. And a woman's neck might be a little narrower, but what I'm saying is that the neck is not skinny, but it drops down right about in here.
You don't sit straight.
Yeah, straight.
Like that. Can you see that?
That's what we're looking for.
Take the bottom of the earlobe and just put it vertically and see how close that the neck is.
Where?
You would
I have a lot of men's.
Mine's a little, because I'm.
Men have chunkier necks.
You have a thin neck.
Okay.
My neck's like a turkey.
Okay. I think we have one more thing to think about. If you just look up here, and then we'll get on with looking at three master drawings, and we're almost going to be ready to do our home. Now, if our model is sitting here and Ross tilts his head over to the side, let's look at what happens. Right now we had a vertical axis down here in this space. But if Ross tilts his head to the side like this, then we've got to change all the axis. And we probably would get the eye level right, which might be about in here. But some people make a mistake and they want to make everything still come up like this. So they put the nose in here and some of the things don't work. So if the person tilts their head, you want to watch for that, and the axis is going to be this way. It's always in a right angle to the eye level, and that means that the nose is going to come down this way, and all those measurements we make and what we do comes down that way, and so on. So you can see that what we see upright, when we tilt it, then we have to tilt this axis right here with it. Okay? So that's something to look for when you first see that. And I'd like to show you right now, maybe Ross can get the lights. I want to show you these three portraits. And we'll just take and see whether some of the things we talked about work. This is by Lucian Freud. He's a wonderful English-British, he does etchings and drawings and so on, and he's alive right now. And let's just do some measuring. If we go from here to here, and we measure that with this, do you see how constant that kind of stays? And if we measure, compare, this width of the eye to this width from tear duct to deer duct on a frontal view, these comparisons hold up pretty generally among the population. And that this eye then would be that way too. And we can do some things like the eye level is across here, and he's got some hair, but the top of the ear is around in there. And we look across here, and we put an axis across with a horizontal sighting, and we see that the bottom of the ears come roughly at the bottom of the nostril of the nose. And those are just some interesting things to keep in consideration. This man has what I call a muscular neck, and so you can see that right back here in the jawbone, dropping down just a little tad inward from the ear, comes these neck lines. And so we get a lot of good information. And look at, for instance, in here, how strong this line between the lips is. And that's what we want to concentrate on when we're drawing the mouth. And then sometime later, if you want to just indicate the flesh of the bottom lip or the top one. But it isn't very often, unless people are wearing a ton of lipstick, that we have those really shaped lips. That this is the line that carries the expression. And then we do this, we drop this down, and we saw where the edges of the mouth come. So you can see that these guidelines of sighting and comparing hold true. This is a painting by Eshel Borki, who became an abstract painter later. And there's some exaggeration in this painting. And sometimes, for expressive reasons, paintings would like to go that way. And for instance, in this one, if I take this length here and here, it's almost right. I guess it is if it's right in the center, and this is the top of a scarf that's over the top of her skull, and it's kind of tight down, it would work. And then we'll look here at the eyes and see what the different distance is between, and you see how consistent that is. And so there's just some things that you can recognize in doing portraits that will work for you. And the one that doesn't work, one man said, well, he thought his mouth was a little small. In this case, this is either a modification or a distortion of the mouth. This one doesn't pull quite true in that regard. The bottom of the ear is right over there, and so we can see how that kind of works together. So those kinds of things sort of stand up. This is by Egan Sheila, and it's done with charcoal, and some of you have a piece of charcoal, and you might like to do your large drawing with that. But here again, this man has lost some of his hair, he's balding, And so we see a lot more of that space, but if we take this from the eye level down to the chin and go up here, can you see that that distance really is pretty constant there? And his mouth, the mouth line, this is a little tuck in the chin right here, this little line, and the mouth is really here under the mustache. And so if we look at that, we can see that the edges of the mouth are coming pretty much to where the pupil is if we could drop a straight line down. So that's helpful. And then remember we talked about the eye level being where the top of the ears are and the bottom of the ear. We always make our ears too small. I think people aren't interested in it, so they don't spend much time looking at them. So here we are. We've got that, and it touches the bottom of the nose. And his neck is just a tad inside the back of the ear in a sense. Okay, we can have the lights on. Now, we want to look at one more thing, and then we're going to get going on our drawings. And I want you to make one more oval, if you would, and we're going to do a profile this time, and it's a kind of oddball egg that we want, this kind of a shape. And it'll be big like this, kind of like that. An egg that's a little bit fatter on the back side. And you can go around lots of times. You don't have to erase. Just do it real naturally. And again, I'd like you to use your partner. If Ross would sit sideways for us, profile, but I'd like you to look at your partner for a few things. And we want to measure from the eye down to the chin here. Let's just have a look at this a second. The center of the eye to the back of the ear. Let's do a couple of things here. We'll measure from the tip of his ear over to the eye, and I think my measurement is about there. And then we'll measure from here, his eye, down to the chin. And you can try that with your partner. So you're going to go from the eye ball back to the ear, and then hold your pencil right there to sight it, and then go from the eye down to the chin and measure those two things. So what we're going to find out, say if we have the eye right here, and we go from here, back here, and here's the ear, and we're going to measure this distance right here, and then we're going to measure from here down to here. And what you're going to find is that these two distances are equal if you sight somebody. And then, interestingly, you can also usually draw a triangle here. So we've got that kind of situation right there. So from the eyeball back to the ear, from the eyeball down to the chin, and back to the ear, you've got a nice equilateral triangle there. And that's a shape that you can recognize in there. So that's interesting. And we can put that in. And then we want to drop down. We want to start, say if we put the nose out here, we've got our nose here and we know it comes to about half of that distance out in here. Then we can drop that back here, sight a horizontal across, and we'll find out that that's where the neck needs to start. Because a lot of people put the neck way over here and they give us this little skinny stump to put our big head on. And so if you measure from where the bottom of the nose is, straight back, and that's where you want to start dropping the neck down in there. If you happen to be seeing somebody in profile, and that's an important thing to do. And then one last thing, let's look a bit at the shape. Get your partner to turn sideways if they can, and see what the shape of that eye is. It's kind of like a little V shape, and it's going to hold an eyeball. Remember, there's a big ball back in here. So it's going to hold a ball, and the lid is going to go up over it. So it's going to look something like that. And then the iris is going to sit, that's the black part of the iris, it's going to sit way out here in the front like this, like that. And you're going to see, and the nose would start coming down over here somehow. So just take a look at that particular thing as you come around. Now let's just take a second to look at one example of a master drawing of a profile, and then we'll start on our big drawings. Okay. This is by Heinz and Becker, Paula Heinz and Becker, and it looks a little bit like Katha Kollwitz. You might know her as an artist, a German artist, and she was about the same time. And just let's check some things. For instance, we talked about starting, the eye is the level of the top of the ear, which it is in this case. And then if I hold that distance and drop this down, you see that that's pretty much the distance from the eye to the chin. And so we've got this really nice triangle in here. Another thing I didn't mention too much, but do you see what a curve this is here? And what part of the face is sticking out the most?
Nose.
Yeah, the nose, okay. So the nose is out, but then do you see how everything is curved here? And from the nose in, this line comes around and this curves back. And do you see how much set back from the nose of the eye is? And it does exactly what we were talking about. It's a little V here. And we know that the ear stops at the bottom of the nose here and so on. So we've got some things we can check. And we can go back this way, and this is where the neck is now coming down here, starting to come down. And look how wide that neck is in this really beautiful drawing of an old woman. And it looks like, let's just check this as opposed to this. And you see how it really is halfway, the eye level is halfway down the skull. So we've got this, and then we've got this. Okay? And that's a kind of an illusion. So you have to do some sighting and measuring to begin to understand these things. Okay. Now, if you take your large piece of paper and your charcoal or a soft pencil, and we're going to get busy to draw Ross with the rest of our time that we've got left.
Take this down so that...
Yeah, we'll take it away so they can see. Yep. And I like to stand up. And if you like to stand up, go ahead and do it while you're drawing. If you like to sit down, fine. And I'm going to get Ross to come way over here. Now, these people get to do a profile on these two sides. And these people will be doing a frontal. And so these people need to remember lots of those things we talked about first, and these people more of the things we talked about a little later. And right in here, these people get a little bit of a three-quarter. And I'll come around and help you with sighting and drawing and so on so that it won't be so difficult for you. So now I hope you have a soft piece of charcoal, and you can try it out on that small, everybody just make some marks on their small paper. Get used to your charcoal.
Can you erase the charcoal?
You may erase. I'm not a big person that encourages erasing a lot, but these are kneaded erasers, and we'll put one here and there, and you can divide them up. And they look like a piece of chewing gum, but they're wonderful kneaded erasers, and the more you stretch them, the better they are for you. So, and they take up charcoal really nicely. Okay.
Wow.
Now we're going to let Ross kind of lean.
It's easier.
Okay.
It's easier straight on.
Yours also
about how
you're good at this.
Oh, yes. Yeah. He reminded me of a good thing, that the ear is about halfway back, and I don't know if I got mine quite right. The eye needs to be right about here. But it's about halfway back in this scheme of things here. And that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Really good point. Okay, now, I will ask that while we're drawing, that people remain really quiet, because if they start chatting, you lose your concentration. And what we've been learning about the right brain is that we need to keep our concentration looking for shapes and angles and directions. So before you start, will everybody just sight with your pencil now?
Is he really going to sit like that?
He is. Okay. Let's watch over here.
We have the jaws, man.
Can we have him sit up?
Okay, now just a second. Everybody, remember, you're going to want to tilt the head. Fine, you can make some light drawings with your charcoal, because charcoal rubs off really well. And what I want you to do with your sighting your pencils here is to see, my gosh, there's a real triangle in here. So it must mean that his head is going in this direction, if you look at that. And yours is gonna be a little different from this side, and you're gonna see real nicely this triangle over here, see, when you start drawing. So So yours is going to be easier probably from either side.
We try to do about this much, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, we're only going to do about like this much.
Oh, well, we're not doing the whole body. Just the head. I'm going to try to rest the body first.
If you get the light. No, we're going to tackle the head. We're going to just go for it. So we'll be dry about this much. And the most important thing to start with is to see, sight it, and see how much this chain. Gosh, it's really that much. So when you first put that down,
the angle's better.
You might like to put your a line down on your drawing that just shows what the axis is here. And then you could draw a rough oval just to start. You know, charcoal rubs off really easy. And let's go right for it on our big paper with our charcoal.
Just like you draw the other thing, just look at it.
Mm-hmm. Just like a plant.
Easy for you. I could be draw an oval.
Just like a plant.
But it's just close up.
I would get some kind of an oval down just to show you. And then once we get that established and the eye level established and the axis, then we're going to go for looking for shapes. And Ross has some really interesting shapes, like the raw shape for the hair.
Interesting.
This will become a shape here. Okay? But get your axis first, because he's kind of got his head off. And only this far.
Do we have our axis from you do have a really hard view. Let's move you back just a tad more.
Oh!
Sorry.
Oh. I'll try it again.
She couldn't see it. So. Sorry, we'll try it again.
Good.
Okay.
Where did you go?
I learned it's background now. Or even this curve. You can just make it a big shape if you want to come up and go around like that.
You can use that for highlights.
Do
you have that much with one of these.
No, that's a good start.
Because that's a black lacquer. That'll be as black as a pencil. So this is real. Later on, it'd be a little dark when you want to start.
Now, make this first oval kind of light because we're going to vary it to really signify him. That's good. And then look.
Yeah, right.
And just lay them across, that may make some candy.
Okay. Now, most everybody has got an eye level and axis, and so now you can start looking for shapes. And we want to do this pretty carefully. That is, you might even start by doing the shape of his hair and how it comes out around and in and out and so on. And just treat it as one big shape to start with. And then he's looking down, so the shape of his eye is not going to be an almond. Look to see what the real shape is. And he has some really interesting shape right here, under the eye. That's because he's lived 62 years, and that's what happens to us.
63.
Three.
So, wait,
you haven't been sitting there that long.
The sort of half-moon shape, we're looking for shapes compared to each other. It's a nice half-moon shape there. So don't put down a shape that you can't see. His eyes look like slits, and remember they're... The space between them is only as big as an eye.
How do you make that ear? Trace the sideburn, and then there's a nice curve up here to it goes back, it curves around, and make that shape so it becomes his hair, not a generic hair. He's really got a neat shape to that hair. No, it's almost half. Almost half, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can figure it out again real quick by just picking up something and measuring maybe one. But it's almost half. His chin actually might be quite a bit harder than his beard indicates.
Okay. And then I had to blot it out.
That's all right. Good way to use charcoal. Now, he might need a little more space. Let's just do some siding. Because he's foreshortened, it isn't really going to seem. And then maybe you've got it right. I think you've got it. Okay, and maybe a little more, there's kind of a shape up here. There. Now, one thing that makes Ross appear as age is that this is quite extreme. I think you want to really emphasize that shape so that we feel that age. And then the other thing you might want to notice it's sighting is how much this slants here from the nose down. And yours is going a little straighter. Yours is kind of out here. And you want to just bring it in that way. Okay, we're really coming down. We got rid of that oval and we're making this real person. All right.
I just said it because I need to move his way in or move the axis up there. Because his turn is more than the other.
Good. Make sure it's really what's there. Okay. And a lot of you got the mouth just the right length. You might want to check the mouth.
Yeah, I got more a little bit.
Much better. Oh, that's coming nicely. Yeah. Now, one thing I want to suggest is that you see, there's a little bit of when you come down here. There's a little bit of a dip here. You might want to just check his chin, the angle of it, or the shape of it. Now, one thing you want to look at is compare some things here. And the wrist in the hands is a little narrower here than it is at the ball. And that's what helps you out. Because we have this situation where it's widened. And a little narrower. So right here, if you just bring this angle in and look at this shape, that might help you. This line right here. We're looking at directions of lines and shapes. Good. Do you want to put a shirt on me or the ring on his hand? Do you see that ring on his hand? Where is his hand anyway? He's holding his head up.
Well, I think it's going pretty well, actually. Not bad. Awesome here. We've got the nice big light. And maybe it's a little just showing you guys maybe it's really near that city wants to see the things that are lessons on. So I'm just gonna make it a little bit more. That one is really good. Now let's look up here on Ross and you see how the shape on the hair comes out and does some kind of fun. It isn't as smooth like it got. And once you change that and follow that edge, that will look more off the top of his head. Good. And this eye, you notice that this eye is really saggy. And you could put another line in all those shape and you see his eyebrows. And he isn't exactly smiling, he's relaxed. And when our mouth is relaxed, it droops just a little. So you see how that line kind of goes down just a tad. And make his beard and mustache a shape if you want to start with. Easier to find a shape around, a kind of droopy shape that goes over his mustache. Good. Okay. Now, let's get a real.
It might be. I don't think I'm close enough.
It maybe doesn't come over here that we see a little bit. I'm just going to make it a little bit more order. I think this is the one. This might be. I think you've got a little more distance between the eyes. So just make them a little bit bigger. Then we'll be just fine. Just draw them again. And really emphasize this because that's one thing that gives him his age. Okay. Way to go.
Thanks.
Okay.
I'd be glad to use
One thing, I don't have much sense of the amount of hair he's got. So if you could study, there's some really nice little shapes that meander up in here and come around.
To get this crown.
The crown of the head first. You could put that in there.
Because it kind of sits behind.
Right, and you're seeing a tad of foreshortening from this angle. You're getting it quite well. Follow the take from that edge and trace the shape around. Nice. Now, be a little more specific if you can about the shape of his hair. And like this is from your left brain right here. And just let us see how the edge of that hair shape comes along and how it comes up here. And you see how it curves on his temple here. So, follow, if you could look up here a second. Come along and comes here and here. Do you see what sort of meandering line it is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice. Very nice. Yeah. Do you want to mark his beard in? His beard is quite interesting. Do you want to make a shape for his beard? Mm-hmm. He's been growing his beard a long time. Yeah, that helped a lot just to get it. So it's no longer bald anymore.
It's still I gotta get the line in there.
The line of the forehead?
Yeah.
Okay, you're coming out. Great. Now look here at this line and notice how it pushes out. It's good.
Yeah, real sallow on that side.
This side is
sort of the hand.
Well, you don't, you could just do that. Just do this line that indicates this first and maybe we'll make it just show that something's pushing against it.
Yeah, I'll try that.
Very good.
Okay. Now, you can fill it in with those mascara here because it really doesn't take time. But see if you can follow the line that comes out of the temple and comes around. And then do the same up here and he's got the clinical flow here and that will give him character, his own character. Now, this is where you need to do some sighting, because this is your left brain. You know there's a shoulder out there, but take your pencil. And you see? Well, make your pencil follow his shoulder line. Okay? So he knows needs to go like that. Because he's leaning, he's tilted his whole shoulder frame, and it's tilted way down.